life's not like Flynn, and you've done all you can. You may need a new plan. Call the helpful snowman. He'll tell you what to do. If your life's tied to poop, he will make you brand new. If you don't like it, fuck you.
Have a drink, everybody.
Paradise was right. Boys and girls in America, they're such a sad time together. Sucking off each other.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Great to have you. I just had a little bit more of my delicious Stranahan's Colorado whiskey. My God. So good. If you're a whiskey man or woman, if you're a whiskey man, drink it. If you're a whiskey woman, let me know. Because there's always room for another whiskey woman in life. It's so good. It's like, you drink it and it just feels there's a warmth that spreads through your body that's a little bit pleasant and a little bit... For whatever reason, it just makes me think, I hope this is what it's like to die. I hope this is what it feels like. Because this, I could deal with this, man. Got a little hold steady going there, a little stuck between stations. Just reminds me of America. Because America reminds me of summer. I don't know why. I mean, 4th of July, I guess. To me, red, white, and blue are summer colors. It seems odd to me that they even have summer in other countries. I'm not totally convinced that that exists. I don't know if I've ever been to another country in the summer. I just don't, do they have grills there like we do? I don't know. Fireworks? I assume so. It just seems like a summer thing. I don't know. Like, America is the country of summer somehow. But that's probably mostly just, deep-seated racism and countryism and whatever. Anyway, working on that summer playlist, as all should be. I also have my summer list of things to do, which so far, I haven't really done anything, although I did get my summer booze going. So that's a start. I'm started. What's your excuse? Should have at least 10 things. I've heard some people tell me they have some things too. Oh boy. Excuse me. But nobody has sent me anything, so send them to me, because summer has begun, friends. It's here. Knock, knock, knocking on summer's door. Woke up this morning and I had an incident. Okay, I have a little story, a fable, if you will, about how the morning went this particular morning. 7, it was early, I didn't have to get up till 9, and I'm kind of in bed. And you do the thing where you sort of stretch, getting ready to go back to sleep. And I stretched a funny way, kind of jerked my arm down. And punched myself in the penis. Hard. Real hard. It's still sore. It still kind of feels like someone punched me in the penis. It was like a quick movement down, and I don't know why. I mean, it's like my body betrayed itself and was like, no more of your tyranny, penis. We're just going to punch you. And, I was completely asleep. Until I punched my penis, and then I was pretty awake. I mean, it hurt. It felt bad. It was to the point where I was like, I may have ruptured part of the penis. The thing is, I was sleeping on my back, which is kind of rare for me. And I woke up, and unbeknownst to me, I'd had a morning boner. This is for those of you who don't get morning boners, or perhaps any kind of boners at all. This is when, in the night, your penis fills up with blood, so that you can wake up and basically feel like you're trying to sleep on a stick that's just poking out of your body straight. It's really useful. It's the morning boner is really helpful. It's a helpful way to get started on your day, to have a boner to sort of get rid of. It's the time I'm least really interested in a boner, is first thing in the morning. I don't know. Maybe some people out there are good at the morning sex. I'm not a morning sex guy. I mean, maybe it's nice for the other person. I doubt it, because it's with me, so it seems very unlikely. But maybe it's fun for them. I don't know. But for me, I just start to get like morning sweaty and I'm half awake, and then halfway into it, I will suddenly wake up of sorts, you know, just be aware of where I am about halfway through and say, oh, okay, I'm now in the world. This is happening for real. Let's maybe try and focus on this sex, huh? Get going on that. I don't know. I mean, probably for me, if I could somehow get a boner at night, that would probably be better. I mean, if I got just a magic, it just happened at midnight or something like that, that would probably really go a lot further than, you know, I don't know. It's like at 5 a.m. or something like that. I ain't having sex at 5 a.m. unless I've been up till 5 a.m. I mean, and if I'm up till 5 a.m. and trying to have sex and the boner doesn't happen, that's okay. You know, it's 5 a.m. I've been up for fucking probably 15 million hours at that point. Drugs, booze, it's all in there. So if you don't get the 5 a.m. boner, it's kind of not a big deal. I don't know. Do farmers and stuff, I mean, in old times, did people fuck in the morning more? Maybe. Maybe that's when, you know, they would live in a one-room house and they could be sure the kids were asleep and there was enough light to fuck by. It's not like when you lived in a one-room house, you really got a lot of chances to have sex, I guess. You couldn't really just light a candle at midnight and the kids are in bed and you're like, sorry, kids, this is the night me and your mom fuck, so yeah, have fun trying to sleep right next to us. Maybe in the same bed. Who knows? God knows what's going on. I always wonder, too, what they did about the masturbation in the old times, because they're always like, well, you know, like five kids shared a room. And they took a shower like once every 3 weeks. You know, we would fill up a big tub with hot water and then we'd all one at a time. It's like, where was all the cum going then? Because they must have been beaten off, right? I mean, if I stay home, I have like an Xbox and, you know, podcast equipment and a computer and all this stuff. And I still find time. So if I had none of that, I mean, if I was on a farm and it snowed one day and they're like, well, nothing really to do today, I'd be like, Jesus Christ. And I can't beat off? This farm life is shit, man. I need to move on to something besides the farm life, because the farm life is not treating me right. Not respecting me as an adult here, in my humble opinion. This Stranahan's whiskey, delicious as it is, came with like I could never figure out what it was in the store. It had kind of a top on it, like a little cylinder over the top of the bottle. And then that's like shrink-wrapped onto the bottle. So you take it off, and I think it's a cup of sorts. It's vaguely in the shape of a shot glass, although it's a little tall. And it's metal, and it seems to be cheap metal. I mean, it's cheap to the point where I started to squeeze it, and I could definitely feel it bending. I mean, I could, if you stepped on it, it would squash into a flat thing. So is that something you're really supposed to be using? I mean, is that the idea? Part of me likes it. Because part of me likes, you know, okay, NyQuil comes with its own drinking cup, which is nice. It's a nice feature. I don't know why more booze hasn't come up with that, because odds are a lot of booze, people take that booze and go straight home and drink it. So if it came with a thing that facilitated the immediate drinking, that's a nice thing to do. That's a good customer service, to just provide a cup. But I don't know. It seems like kind of a cheap cup. Although, you know, I just drank it out of a Philadelphia glass with the Rockies silhouette in the Liberty Bell, so I'm probably not the number one guy to ask of, like, what's an appropriate drinkware for an adult man of 28? Because sitting on this table, I have said shot glass. And I have a plastic cup that was from Target Halloween clearance like 3 years ago. So these are my drinkware options. So I should probably just not criticize and let it go, right? Just continue with the drinking the whiskey part. That's really my strength. Not the criticizing glassware. That's not really my part to play. I'm fighting the summer, you guys. Hate the fucking summer. I went to the Starbucks today and got a, you know, hot. I've still been getting the hot coffee when I can, when it's possible, even though I'm like, ugh, gonna be sitting there sweating. You know, something about drinking a hot coffee when it's hot outside and it's like my crotch just starts sweating. Oh, yeah. Anyway, my penis, though, we need to get back to that. You know, I drink the coffee, I sweat, whatever. So I punched myself hard in the penis this morning. First thing in the morning. Real good way to start off a day, punching that penis. Still kind of hurts. I'm not saying that this is a cry for help. But if you're like a penis doctor or even maybe just someone who's seen a lot of penises, call me on Sunday. You know, and I'll let you know how much we've recovered, what percent, or if it's just, if it looks like it's hanging on by a thread. Don't recommend getting punched in the penis or punching yourself. I thought too, I've never really gotten hit in the penis much. I mean, maybe this is a penis owner's thing. It seems like you rarely get hit in the penis, or the penis doesn't really seem to be that affected by blows. It's the balls. The balls are very sensitive, but the penis is usually fine, which is, I think, part of why I was so shocked when I punched my penis. But, you know, just imagine you have, like, a boner and you just slammed it in a door. It was kind of like that sort of a feeling. And I just, what can you do? You're just laying there in a bed. It's morning. People are productively starting their day, and I'm curled in a ball thinking, my penis. But I couldn't open my eyes to look at it because I was too tired. That's the state of my health, I guess. Is that bad if you went into a doctor and said, "How's your health?" And I'm like, "Well, my penis hurts so bad, but I couldn't open my eyes because I don't go to a bed at an appropriate time." Hooray, adulthood. That's my penis. I hope. I'm a little worried that it's going to affect my getting laid. I mean, it is summer, right? You know, we discussed how it's summer at the beginning of the show. All this. I mean, I you know, all summer I got to be cruising around town. I'm going to probably buy some, I saw some great Gears of War board shorts at Target that I probably should buy. I'm going to be, you know, how do you, crushing trim? Is that a way to say that? Having girls in, you know, the sex area positions. Crushing trim, is that okay? Crushing it. All summer. You know, so I hope that my injured penis doesn't affect my abilities to do that. Because let me tell you, I was on a roll. Okay? It's been, let's not put a number on. Let's put it this way. A friend of the show, Nick Anor, sent me this website. And it's called something like Days Since Sean Has Been Laid or Since Steve Has Been Laid. And this guy made a website that was like, I got this friend. He's a pretty nice guy. Normal looking dude, whatever. Normal in every way, but he's just having trouble with the ladies. And so here's like a counting up clock of how long it's been since he's been laid. And, you know, oh, and if you want to have sex with my friend, you know, here's an email address. Let's see what happens. And, you know, and I was like, that's kind of hilarious. And then I looked and I was like, oh, fuck that guy. He's getting laid all the time compared to some people out there, I'm sure. I'm pretty sure. So fuck him, by the way. Fuck you, guy out there. You're not doing fine. But better than some. Better than some. So for today's show, you know, we always talk about helping people on this show, right? And today, because I know a lot of us are not happy with our jobs or our careers. You know, we want to further our skills, have these great jobs that we all love. all that shit. So I thought we would work on some job interview skills today. So to that end, I've secured a virtual job interview DVD, a couple of them actually. There's the virtual job interview, and there is also Ms. Interview. Now, the virtual job interview looks real shitty, and we're going to start with it. It's got a real schlubby-looking boss on the front. You know, he looks like a real-life Paul Giamatti, I guess. Probably has a voice like this. And then, you know, you've got, like, a mixed bag of races on the front, just so we're like, ah, all races can do this. A lady wearing a very plunging neckline sweater that seems inappropriate to me. I don't know if that's going to come up. So I've got this DVD popped in, and I thought maybe we'd go through some of what advice we get here for the virtual job interview, and then I can help all of you get the jobs of your dreams. I'm kind of like the Ms. Interview of the podcast world today. So right up top, we've got preparation, the day of, illegal questions, and meet Mr. Oh, that's cute. HR. A-I-T-C-H-A-R. That's adorable. What fucking bastards. Okay. Let's start with preparation. Let's see what happens here. Oh, yeah. Some nice graphics going. Some of the worst sound.
The interview is a conversation between an applicant and an employer.
Okay, so what we've got here is shitty music and a roving background. And then we've got the redhead lady with the plunging neckline. And the image of her is sort of superimposed over this background, and she's flying through the background slowly. You know what I mean? This is like a very movement-oriented thing, but she couldn't look more bored. She could not look more bored if she was sitting next to me at the bar and I was explaining to her why sometimes the Hulk is red and green and gray.
There should be a mutual exchange of information for the interview to be successful. Preparation is key for a successful interview. The type of information you need to prepare is about yourself and the organization.
She also has, eybrows that she made herself at home. These are not her eyebrows. They're like not as far as shaving them off and tattooing them on again, but in that realm. She's headed that way. Also, in this plunging neckline, she has a lapel mic. Like, basically in between her breasts. I don't think that's the proper way to wear a lapel mic. I mean, maybe that's how it's done in the job interview. I don't know. But I don't think this is right.
With which you are interviewing. Your preparation
now
will
she's flying
you
the
to
other
identify
way.
And communicate what you have to offer an employer.
But you have
it
to
will
offer.
Also help you to develop a better understanding of how you would fit within the organization. And what questions you need to ask to determine whether this is an
What questions you need to ask? She's got the biggest red hair I've ever seen. I mean, she kind of looks like a Chucky doll grown up and womanized, basically. This is not someone who I am trusting so far. I don't trust her with her personal decisions.
Appropriate workplace for you.
Know yourself. It's oh my god, and these great 7-Up commercial
Review
type graphics.
Your entire background, including your work history.
Now it's showing different jobs. You know, there's a lady in a lab. There's a lady looking through gigantic binoculars wearing like a Ku Klux Klan hat.
Internships, coursework, extracurricular activities, academic.
Some guy looking at a plant and just nodding like, yeah, that's a plant.
Projects and related interests.
Good.
Develop a skills profile on your
just
resume.
Just some lady's face.
That includes both
close
general
up.
Skills.
That could have been from like a drug thing. That's not even. Oh, a gateway keyboard. That's
and
nice.
And job-specific skills. Those that are relevant to the specific position you are applying for. Whenever possible, ask for a copy of the job description.
Okay.
And tailor your resume.
So this is pointless. This is just asking you, do you know what a job interview is? Yeah. You fucking sit there and humiliate yourself for a half hour. And then maybe you get a job. Who knows? You know, this is a way to start a life you don't like. That's basically, the end of the job interview. I'm going to move down to illegal questions. I think that's going to be more entertaining for us here.
Unfortunately,
same lady wearing a less plunging shirt. and looking even more dead in the eyes than when we last saw her.
Hiring managers are untrained in legalities of interviewing.
Yeah.
So it's fairly common for candidates to be asked illegal
great
questions.
Great sax in this background.
Keep in mind, as a general rule, employers cannot ask, what's your marital status? Or,
what is your national origin?
What is your national... Oh, what is your national origin? And then like a red slash circle. What do you call it? There needs to be a name for that, right? The no sign, the no circle, the don't do it circle. And it's like, boop, goes over his head. What's your nation of origin? And then he looks off to the side. This guy, I mean, the worst guy. I don't care how fucked up your head is. When you're going bald and you've got a tiny tuft of hair on top in the center and then it's still on the sides, you need to just shave it. Because if you just shave it, you could be like an ultimate fighter. But when you look like this, you're just a guy who's like, what's your nation of origin?
What is your sexual orientation?
Now he's just got a red X over his face. So this looks like the start of a porno. That's nice.
You cannot legally be asked, what is your native language?
That's kind of weird. I don't understand. I mean, what's your native language? Okay.
Or,
what is your religious preference?
Now he has a look on his face like, motherfucker, I'm not going to get to know anything. Damn it. What's going to happen? I don't understand. So the guy asks, what's your religious preference? And then you call the cops and they come in. I bet they'd be real excited to help you out and say, oh, and then you would get the job. He'd be like, you're right. I couldn't ask that. You win the job. Good job. You won the test of the job interview by calling me out on that.
What is your political preference?
Just can't get it right, can you?
It's not legal for employers to ask you about your general medical condition, illnesses, or...
How many children do you have?
Now he's got a face like he's about to say fuck. If he says fuck right now, it's going to make my entire day.
How many dependents do you have?
Not even close.
What are the ages of your children?
Oh, that was a tricky one. And for some reason, the symbol that comes up when the cuckoo clock is like the Target symbol. It's a red circle with a red dot in the middle. So I guess this is an interview for Target, which I'm sure doesn't hire people who have kids. You know, they're only hiring swinging singles.
It's also illegal for employers to ask about birth control use or your plans for having children. Employers can ask about disabilities in this form.
So really, they can't say, hey, are you on birth control? No fucking shit. Oh, yeah, I got the shot implanted, you know. Oh, actually, I just dipped my heavy stuff in Mountain Dew and just let it soak overnight. So I heard that does something. Is that, really, the birth control practice isn't so much relevant as what I'm doing to my body and that I think it works. That's probably a problem, right? There's some really good music back here, this jazz.
Employers can ask if you've ever been convicted of a felony, but not...
Have you ever been arrested?
That one just hit him right in the head. This guy looks like basically... If you were married to this guy and you saw Al Bundy, you'd think, man, what a man. If only I could have someone that hot.
There are a few options for handling illegal questions.
Yeah.
You can answer the question without revealing that you're offended.
Yeah.
To answer this way, assume that the interviewer is merely curious, means no harm, and is unaware that people might be put off.
So now they're having an interview. He's sitting across the table from this young lady in a pink shirt, and they're holding hands in the middle of the table for some reason.
By such questions.
Which seems more inappropriate.
That's quite a diamond. Is it your wedding ring?
Yes, it is. Thanks.
Oh, so you're married then. How's your family, Self?
Well, I'm not sure how that's related to the position.
Oh, good one.
My family's health is just fine.
Good one. That was very smooth. Yeah. He's like, how was your day? I'm not sure how that's related to the position, sir. So, I'd like to keep this professional, okay? I'd like to be as abrasive as possible in this interview, if that's a thing that we can do. I'm not asking you where you bought your terrible suit, so maybe you could just leave my family alone, you fuck.
An alternative response is to address the apparent underlying concern of the interviewer, rather than his or her specific question, through tactful deflection.
What are your child care arrangements?
If your question is truly addressing my ability to meet the high demands and long hours of this job, the answer is I'd have no problem with that.
So, do you belong to any political clubs or denominational organizations?
Sir, if you're wondering about my networking capabilities and whether or not I'd be a good fit in with this company, I can tell you that I'm excellent at conducting business wherever I'm needed.
Okay, great. When's your birthday?
June 16th.
What year?
Every year.
Ha 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 ha. I mean, all right, if I was doing this interview and I was just like, oh, yeah, you know, that Barack Obama. And they were like, sir, I just want you to know that I'm pretty much ready for this entire job in every way other than in the interview. Jesus Christ, this guy's just like, oh, that's a nice wedding ring. Does not compute. Good. You're going to get that job in no time.
You can also politely remind the interviewer that the question is illegal.
Oh, good. Politely.
Hey, I see on your resume that we have the same alma mater. What year did you graduate?
Well, that's really not a legal question, and I'd prefer to discuss my job qualifications, which include life experiences and an extensive business background that can add value to your company.
Boy, when I was in college, you didn't see some of the things you see today. Men holding hands with men.
Oh, this guy's great. He's like, when I was in college, you didn't see the stuff you see today. Gayness. That wasn't a thing you saw. Gays. Yeah, okay. That's okay. I mean, what the fuck? What is this job? And this girl, too, is just like, I don't know. I think that this job is not really relevant to how many gay people I've seen have sex. I don't know.
Other women. What do you think about that?
The fact that men are kissing men and women are kissing women in college? It's college. What do you want me to say? You know, people. So there's a guy at every college who's dressing in a giant fucking bear costume and running out on a basketball gym floor and doing a backflip, right? That's just as crazy as people having sex, even if they're the same kind of person, man or woman, wise. Jesus Christ, are you kidding me? Oh, can you believe these girls are kissing? Can you believe I had to go to a class where they made me take apart a squid and see what it was inside of it, which is just guts and stuff? That's okay. They had this room in my college that had these animals floating in fucking jars. You know, just dead corpses. So we have like this corpse mausoleum with, you know, glass jars of animals floating in, I don't even know what it was, probably the drool that comes out right before someone vomits and it's got a little acid in it. That's okay. That's a normal college thing to have. But can you believe a girl kissed a girl? Oh my God. Also, if there's a beer pong table in the room, I don't think it counts. I'm sorry.
It's relevant, nor is it legal. Let's just stick to what's appropriate for this job.
Yeah.
Remember that
tell
your
him.
Goal is to get a job offer.
This
After
woman does not
an
blink.
Offer, you can decide whether or not you really want to work for the organization. If you feel you've experienced discrimination during an interview, speak to the company's HR director about what happened. If you don't receive satisfaction there, you may wish to contact the appropriate government agency.
You did mention a we earlier when I asked about family. Whom do you live with?
Okay, I have to draw the line here. I do not care to answer any more of your illegal questions. Your company's interviewing processes are discriminatory, and I plan on taking your
Your company's processes are discriminatory. I plan on taking legal... She sounds like me when I'm drunk. Your company is discriminatory, you fuck. I'd be like, actually... It is extremely, but the word is discriminatory. There's an inanatory in there, so I'm going to have to let you go before you're even hired. Thanks.
To court.
I'm going to take you to court. Well, that was a great job interview. Any job interview that ends, I'm going to take you to court. That probably went well. Good one. Well done, lady. Sounds like in all those situations she got hired. The one where she was aggressive, the one where she was passive-aggressive, and the one where she's just, like, threatening. All right, I think we're ready for the interview. We're going to meet Mr. HR here. You guys ready? Let's do it. We're going to get this fucking job. We're going to land it. This job at the... I don't know.
Hello.
Oh, Jesus.
Thanks for meeting with me.
So here he is, same shitty guy. His suit looks like he's wearing football shoulder pads underneath. And behind him is a neon background that's black, and then the colors of, like, book spines facing out in bookshelves, but they're just painted on bars. Couldn't be a worse background. Couldn't be a worse foreground than the guy.
Me today. I'm Mr. HR. For starters, why don't you tell me...
Okay, I guess I'm supposed to tell him a little bit about myself. So then you get a multiple choice, right? You can say, I was born in Kansas in 81, and I have three sisters, and I like traveling, snowboarding, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's why I'm here, right, dude? B is, I've prepared myself for this position with an internship opportunity at a local bank. Fuck that. Nerd. Bottom. I have a business degree. My GPA was 3.1, and I'm very... Okay, school's for fucking nerds. Snowboarding's fun. So that's why I'm here, right, dude? That's what we're picking.
I'm not looking for personal information about your background. And as your potential boss, you disrespect me by calling me dude.
Oh, no. Yeah, I did disrespect you. You know why? You're not respectable. Look at your fucking background. You disrespect me by calling me dude. You look like, you sound like what I always imagined Super Mario would sound like if he never went to the Mushroom Kingdom and he just was stuck in regular life.
What I really want to know is, how would you convince me as to why I should hire you?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. How can I convince him? I certainly have the ability to perform the job well, but moreover, I have an attitude for excellence. That's what I have an attitude for. In outside customer relations and internally as part of a team, I have consistently reached for becoming the very best I can become. Yeah, that doesn't sound like anything anyone would say. Well, Mr. HR, this is the ideal job for me. It would let me apply my expertise, learn valuable skills, and get ahead. Or, I'm very interested in this position. I'm sure I will do well, and I believe I'm the right person for the job. Okay, so obviously it's this top one, right? I mean, if we just pick the longest one.
Well, that certainly shows your enthusiasm and dedication as an employee.
Fucking A.
It describes a positive attitude and a personality trait, something I just can't determine from
your resume.
You should have
seen my dick before I punched it.
Primarily on your skills. All right. Now that I've heard about your strengths, what would you say is your major
weakness? Let's see. I used to micromanage projects and got caught up in the details, but I've since learned to keep an eye on the big picture. That's somewhat true of everyone, right? You kind of get a little micromanagey here and there. For example, I punched my penis and then I was examining it very closely. My lack of experience, but I hope to be able to resolve that real soon with your help. Gosh, I hope I can resolve that real soon if you give me a job. I would say my lack of proper planning in the past, but now I carry a digital organizer in my pocket and I input all of my appointments. As we all know, the job interview is often about lying. So you have to decide which lie is the best. As discussed on an earlier show, I lie to my doctor about the procedures I do to keep myself healthy, that I don't do at all. So I would say I'm going to pick this bottom one, that I have bad planning in the past, but I now carry a digital organizer. Because that's like, you know what? Certain parts of me are a certain way, but I'm going to fucking fix it. So you don't have to worry about it.
I like how you put a positive spin on your perceived weakness.
He looks like he's going to jump across the desk and kiss me.
You explained your weakness, and then you told me how you specifically tackled the problem and what tools you used.
You're welcome.
I'd like to hear what accomplishments have given you the most
The most satisfaction? He should finish his sentences. Let's see. I just quit smoking 2 weeks ago, and I'm doing really well with it. Okay. Last month, one of my short stories was published in a literary magazine. Or as part of an internship, I produced a webpage. Okay, most likely of these, I'm not going to quit smoking. And if I'm applying for some shit job, that's when I begin smoking. Okay? Oh, yeah, and I created a webpage. That's exciting. No, I'm going to say I did a short story. That's my dream, right?
That's very impressive.
Thank you.
But it doesn't relate to the position and field, does it?
Probably not, because this is not like a real job that I'm trying to get. This is like a horrible job.
Now, you should indicate more how the result was an achievement of your goals.
Yeah.
Next, I'd like to hear you describe the relationship that should exist between the supervisor and those reporting.
Okay. Let's see. A manager should be friendly, but also make sure that the work gets done. I think a good relationship would be one that was based on mutual respect. This is going to be tough if this is about a healthy relationship. I'll do my best. A manager should be a positive role model who can set the course for the workers under him or her. And a good manager should be able to inspire others to reach the highest of their abilities. That's nice. That should be on the bottom of a poster of a guy like running at dawn up a desert road. The manager is the boss, and the boss has to enforce the rules and regulations any way he or she knows how in order to keep things running as efficiently as possible. Maybe that means marching a bunch of Jews into a gas shower. Who knows? I'll say the top, right? Friendly but gets the work done. That seems good. Mutual respect.
Your answer is fair, but really, a manager does not have to be friendly.
Oh.
In fact, a manager and employee should maintain a professional, not a personal relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, God forbid we go to work and enjoy someone who also works at our work. That would be terrible.
Let's look a little deeper into how you deal with superiors.
Okay.
If I were to ask your former supervisors or professors to describe you,
what would they say? They'd say that I'm a hard worker. I did well in school, and my friends think I'm funny. I believe they would say that I'm energetic and dependable, and that I want to apply my book knowledge to real world. I would never use the phrase book knowledge. Guys, I got a lot of book knowledge, and I'm ready to apply it. They'd tell you positive things. Oh, and my professors loved me. After all, I graduated with honors. I think I did well in school, and my friends think I'm funny. I don't think that's probably going to matter. That's not as good as the second one of, I have their letters of recommendation if you'd like to see them. But this is me, man. This is me, motherfucker.
Being funny is not a prerequisite for being a good employee.
Well, I guess that just depends on where you work. I'm working at the Ha Ha Factory.
These personality traits you describe, they should be about who you are at work and how these traits will work for the employer.
Hmm.
I'm curious.
I forgot that I was working for Schlubs Anonymous here.
Have you ever had a conflict with a supervisor, professor, or coworker?
Physical conflict?
How?
Let's see. I've never had any major conflicts, but on the few occasions when there are disagreements, I asked for the other person's perspective and then asked them for permission to give mine. Finally, I worked on reaching a compromise. Is there any involved punching? I try to avoid these type of situations, so I truly can say no, I've never really had any conflicts. Yeah, well, this one time, my boss and I didn't see eye to eye on a situation. I disagreed and stood firm. In the end, the customer was happy anyway. I don't know, I don't really get in conflicts with my boss. The reason being, it's not worth it, right? I mean, you gotta go home. I'm a compromiser, middle child. Try and make that work. We'll take that first one. That's the longest one.
Sounds like you've handled
the right
disagreements professionally and successfully.
Thank you.
You used listening skills and communication tactics.
That's
which
true.
Which both demonstrate qualities of a solid employee.
Thank you so much.
I'm getting the impression that you're a real team player. If that's true, can you tell me of a way that you've
Let's see. How can I demonstrate my team playerness? I've played baseball in leagues all of my life. My favorite position is shortstop, but I usually play out in left field. Okay. No. I don't play baseball. Don't like baseball. Don't think baseball is fun. You know? I always thought I always thought I'd eventually morph into a guy who played drunken softball, right? But then I had this friend and her sister was playing drunken softball and got hit in the face with a ball and it knocked her two front teeth out. Not cool. So fuck that. Done. I've always enjoyed working closely with people in my past jobs. I enjoy being able to brainstorm on ideas for projects for handling problems. Or I was involved in an intramural basketball team. All right, well, I have to pick the center one because, I'm not a sport. Not a good sport at sports.
Your response is mediocre.
Fuck you, asshole, you piece of shit. Every answer you give, what kind of interview is this? Mr. HR, and you say, well, this is how I feel. And he's like, I don't agree with that response. I don't know about that. That's not really that good. I think you could have done better. Here's how.
Very general feel for your outlook as a potential.
So I should have said that I played fucking basketball. Oh, I ran around with an orange ball that had warts all over it, and then I fucking put it in this circle. I put a circle in a circle, and then we high-fived. One time when I was in middle school, this is a true story. We were playing basketball in gym class, and I did like a layup. A nice just whatever layup. And we were running back to the other end of the court. And I hated playing shit like basketball because I just didn't care. I'd rather just do push-ups or something. I don't know. At least then I'd be, hot in sixth grade. But so we did this. We were playing basketball. I go for the layup. I make a layup. And we're running back to the other end of the court. And some guy, gave me the pat on the ass thing. Like, some guy playing on my team, some other sixth grader or whatever. And I immediately was like, well, I think I'm done with basketball. I think I'm done trying at basketball. It's not like a homophobic thing. I was just like, that's really unnecessary. I wouldn't want, do a layup and then get a big hug. I don't know. We don't need to... He couldn't have just written me a love letter afterwards and been like, hey, man, the way you fucking did that layup was real nice, and I think you're a great guy. XOXO, DJ, or whatever his name was. Every kid was named DJ.
Describing a specific situation that demonstrates your ability to be a team player would be your best bet with this question.
Yep.
I'm sure you realize that fitting into a team is just one of the many potentially stressful situations.
Oh, sure.
That you find in a workplace.
Absolutely.
How do you handle pressure?
Ooh, how do I handle pressure? I thrive on pressure and really perform well under any deadlines that are given me. I don't do stress. For me, the ideal work environment is one where people are cool and the atmosphere is chill. When I'm feeling pressured at work, I prioritize within myself or any team what's the most important. I can give you an example if you'd like. The ideal work environment is cool and the atmosphere is chill because my ideal work environment is Powerball winner sitting in my living room, which is very chill.
Even if the working environment here was an informal one, that doesn't mean it's stress-free.
Hey, it doesn't mean it's stress-free. Jesus Christ. This interview, this guy is very unprofessional. Hey, this is like if you were doing an interview with your dad to be, continued to being his son and how he would treat you. He'd be like, is that what you're going to do when you go into a real interview? That doesn't answer any of their questions. I'm your dad.
Furthermore, sharing that you don't do stress tells me that you're not an employee I can count on during a high-pressure time.
High-pressure time?
Tell me something. What is your long-range career objective? Where do you want to be?
My long-range career. Oh, let's see. I look forward to becoming an expert in my field. Or I'll be 10 years older, so I believe I'll be earning more money, be highly respected, and have a bit more status within the company. Yeah, right. I'm not 10. I don't think that's true. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get ahead, accomplish my goals, and bring the company to the next level. So I guess where I'd want to be is your job. I wouldn't want to be this guy. My job? Then I could sit across the table and be like, that was a terrible answer. What are you thinking? So I'll be an expert in my field.
That's great!
Jesus.
You told me that you want to perform.
This guy's trying to fucking sell me a car after we get done here?
Best of your ability by preparing yourself. Your enthusiasm for taking advantage of learning opportunities and challenges that will boost your performance as well as that of the company are to be commended.
Yeah.
I see you making great strides here.
Me too.
And we look forward to bringing you on board.
Your salary will be $1 billion a year to start. You'll have a company Porsche and a condo in the islands. We'll see you on...
Okay. So, guys, great news. Just got a pretty good opportunity. Going to be making $1 billion and have a company Porsche. Whatever that means. I don't know what that would be for or where I would drive a company Porsche. But here we are. Company Porsche land. Should we switch to Ms. Interview? See what she's got going on? So let me stick this DVD. So this is like a mean-looking lady. This is basically like a businessy-looking blonde Jillian Michaels is what I would describe her as. Who, has her arms crossed and she's like, "You're shit, but I'm going to mold you as a piece of shit into a job-having piece of shit. You piece of shit." Wearing some nice fake pearls here on the disc. So what we're going to do, I think we can go, we've got some sample tests or something. Let me open this up here. And we'll get started in Ms. Interview. So great news, guys. I hope that gave you all the tips you needed to get your job. Just be abrasive, call the guy dude a couple times, but then make some comebacks. I guess if you swing in and out of being like a responsible adult and like a snowboarder, that's what they're really looking for. All right, here's Ms. Interview. Oh, Jesus, is that Ms. Interview? So Ms. Interview looks like if Chelsea Handler had a sister who was 10 years older and wore leopard shit. Wow. We're watching a lady get a job here. Oh, good. Okay. Now we have a sassy cartoon version of Ms. Interview. All right, let's just go straight to the job interview, right? That's what we want to do. So here she is.
Good afternoon. Come on in.
Hi, Caitlin O'Connor.
Jack Hansen.
Okay.
Come in. Have a seat.
Thank you.
So they're in an office. His desk appears to be a folding card table. This setup looks exactly... there was someone having sex on that table 10 minutes ago or 10 minutes after this filmed, for sure. This is like a fake office that people made to have sex in. Absolutely. They've got a stack of like 5 books on a little china hutch that's blocking half of a door for some reason. They have dining room chairs just pulled up to a folding table, and that's a man's desk. Yeah, and they're dressed in clothes that are not their clothes, clearly.
Can I offer you some water? Coffee, something?
No, nothing. Thank you.
We got a little tied up here. I'm sorry we had to push your interview back, but thanks for being flexible.
Okay, could this be any... I'm so sorry. We had to put you back a little bit. Fuck this guy. This guy looks like every bad police chief from an action movie, you know what I mean? Where he's just like, "Oh, I know what's best for you, John Spartan, okay? You don't tell us what to do." I don't know, man. Maybe this job interview thing is not really a good idea. Maybe we should all quit doing the job interviews, you know? Ms. Interview. I'm trying to get to these practice questions here because I don't think that watching Caitlin do her interview is really going to be of interest, right? Do we really care how she does in her interview? I don't. I want the job. Not for her to have the job, right? Oh, here we go. Self-test. Use this self-paced test to practice the questions. Let's see what we've got. What kind of position are you looking for? Well, what kind of position am I looking for? Really any kind of job. Any kind of job where you'll pay me money. I mean, obviously... Did you just open a thing that says we have jobs, come get one? Fuck this. Fuck Ms. Interview. You know what? Guys, I don't think there's any way to prepare for a job interview. I think you're all screwed. You might just be stuck. Stuck where you're stuck in the job interview zone. Just get famous. That's helpful snow advice for the day. Oh, I did want to tell everyone about... I've been reading a wonderful novel... a real gem, hidden gem of a novel that you might all enjoy. This book is called Model Land, written by Tyra Banks. Now, I know what you're thinking, because a lot of people have asked me about this. They say, Pete, what's the point of reading that? You know, is it just ironic and fun? And I say, it kind of started that way. Because here's the thing. I mean, you can have fun reading a book by, like, the Kardashians or Snooki or whatever, just because of the craziness factor. But the thing that you find is not fun about it is that halfway through reading it, you're pretty convinced. You're like, all right, Snooki didn't write this book. You know what I mean? She probably just laid on a couch with a cold, frozen Zorro mask thing over her eyes to make them less puffy and just dictated the beats to somebody. Just told them, here's what I'm thinking in general. Here's what I'm thinking in general about my book. Here's what it should be like. And then they just kind of did that. And some poor, poor person wrote it for $20,000, you know? But with Tyra Banks' book, I am getting the feeling that she really wrote it. And here's why. If I were working at a publishing house and we were basically writing a book for Tyra Banks, and I sent some people off to say, like, I want you to write this book, here's the beats, bring me something back. If they brought back anything remotely resembling what I've been reading the last couple days, I would say, you're fired. First of all, this is fucking insane. This is too crazy. No one's going to believe this. Are you just trying to smear Tyra Banks? Is that your goal? Because that's what you're doing. I've read a book in my time. I read a book once called The Menstruating Mall, about a mall that's alive and menstruating. And somehow people are in it and mutate into giant bugs. That was less weird than Model Land by Tyra Banks. Every chapter is weirder than the last. I mean, I've probably read like 50 pages thinking that surely the weirdness is going to slow down, but it has not slowed down. This is the story of a young girl who looks like Tyra Banks, and she lives in this sort of dystopian future. Imagine the Hunger Games, right? Except instead of being selected to go into an arena and fight, a certain number of people are selected to go to Model Land. So our hero, Tookie de la Creme, is a forget-a-girl, as she describes herself. No one can remember her. She's just, like, utterly forgettable. And what's weird is it's Tyra Banks clearly describing herself at age 16 or something like that, which I was like, weren't you a model when you were, like, 10? I mean, are you trying to convince me that you were not attractive? I'll grant, okay, probably everyone thinks that their features are weird. And you could probably disassemble any hot person and look at them piece by piece and say, not that hot. But come on. I feel like Tyra Banks in her peak was mutually agreed upon, right? I mean, she was in all these fashion things. She was pretty big as a supermodel. She was a supermodel. It's like Cindy Crawford level or Kathy Ireland or, you know, I don't know who the current people like that are. Does that exist anymore? Or is it just like you're in Victoria's Secret now? I don't know. We don't really need supermodels anymore because we have the internet. So she's trying to sell herself as being very hideous, which isn't working. But it's kind of like a Willy Wonka thing. You go, you know, they pick people to go to Model Land. And if you find these magic gems, this is really great. You find a magic gem. If you find one, you don't get a guaranteed entry into Model Land. You get a 91% chance of going, which is a really specific and weird number, right? 91%, so there's a 9% chance you won't still. And even if you don't find one, you still may go. You know, it's just not 91% likely, I guess. To demonstrate how crazy I think this book is, so her father, Creamy de la Creme, yeah, was an acrobat. You know, you find out he was an acrobat because she goes into the living room one night, and he's in there, like, drunkenly doing his acrobat stuff because he misses his glory days, and he has a glass eye, you know, so then you get the story of how he got his glass eye. So it goes like this. This guy was a famous acrobat, and he's at the circus, and he's, like, seven stories up, you know, and it's a big deal, and there's all these, lights and, you know, flames, and around the bottom of the arena they have all these swords, right? Just to make it seem more dangerous. He's seven stories in the air. Now, Tuki is in the crowd with her mom. And her mom, you know, is obviously like a wicked stepmother type. And she's doing her makeup in the middle of when her husband is like tightrope walking to his doom. Now, somehow, her mirror that she's using to do her makeup shines a beam of light directly into his eyes. You know, and he like stumbles and falls off the tightrope. Without even getting into the logistics of somehow a beam of light from the circus getting in a guy's eyes and that causes him to fall from seven stories, that's what happens. Then he falls seven stories, but because he's such an amazing acrobat, he lands in such a way that he's fine. He pulls off the landing. He's totally fine. You know, and the way she described it was really weird in the book, because it was like, well, he managed to land on his upper back and then sprint. And I was like, that seems like a really horrible place to land if you fall from that far, right? Your upper, oh, your spine. Good. He, you know what? He managed to localize the blow to his spine and he's going to be okay, everyone. So he's fine. He gets up and, you know, he's like taking these deep bows and then he bows into a sword. So he bows a sword into his eye. And that is how he lost his eye, you know, and that's how his career ended. Because I guess, I don't know, I guess you can't acrobat when you don't have both eyes for some reason. Which seems crazy because, I mean, I don't know how you could do it with a fucking brain. I don't think you would really need both eyes. But that's so he lost his eye by bowing into a sword that was sticking out of the ground. I mean, this is one of many, many insane things in this book. It's basically every idea she's ever had crammed into one thing. So I have to recommend this book half-heartedly. I mean, if you just got time to kill, if you feel like life is, you know, not passing you by too fast, if you're not one of these people who's like, I don't have time for crap or garbage in my life, if you're like, I got some garbage time, I'm kind of a garbage person, this is the way to go. I highly recommend it. It's getting crazier. I'll keep you updated. There'll be some good updates on the website, guys, which is, by the way, helpfulsnowman.com, which you should all know by now, right? Oh, my God. What the hell is that? Which you should all know by now, I would hope. Come visit me there. Read some writings. Listen to some podcasts. Really getting up there in the numbers here. Even with this crap episode, huh? Let me know what you want to hear. Let me know if there's anything that you feel we need to cover that you need help with. Let me know about your lives as I've let you know about mine. All right, everybody. Have a great weekend. Summer's here. Send me your summer list shit.
When it hits me that she's gone, I think I'll run for president. Get my face put on the $1 million bill. So when these rich men that she wants show her ways they can take care of her, I'll have found a way to be there with her still.
When it hits me that she's gone, I think I'll be an astronaut. Make the moon my home and leave this world behind.